Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Sure. Sorry, Chris is a little salty today. It's been a rough day, and I'm not necessarily agreeable right now. So this is going to be a fun episode 199. Speaking of, let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
All right.
Next week is our big 200th podcast, and we've kind of strayed away from giving you guys any specifics because it took us a while to get it all hammered out.
Yeah.
But we've hammered everything out.
We think.
And we have, we think.
I'm hedging my bets.
Don't worry me like that because, this is making my brain explode. Okay, so, next week.
Podcast 300 is just going to be normal. I'm tired of these. Let's make a big deal out of something.
Here's the thing. Podcast 200 is the last one that Chris is going to organize. Joel can organize 300. And it'll probably be normal, and that'll be okay, and I won't care.
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure, like, around 80, you were like, we got to do something for 100.
Sure, yeah.
And we did something, and we were like, 200 is going to be normal. And then about 180, you were like, we got to make it bigger than
100. It's like, we got to do something.
We got to oomph it. And I'm like, you know, remember our pack back in the day? And apparently you did not.
Okay, all right. First of all, okay. You never brought any of this up before, okay? You never brought up the whole, like, pack that we made at 100. You're just now bringing this up.
You had a dream and a vision, man. I was not one to stand in the way.
And you're like, all right, like, cool, let's do it.
Whatever you say.
Let's get the Trashy Boys involved, too.
Let's see what you can do. So, good job.
Thanks.
We'll see. Good job.
Okay.
Let me hold off good job until next week.
Fair enough. All right. So, here's the details. Okay. Next week, December 10th.
Yes.
We are going to do a live stream of our podcast starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's the plan.
Oh, we are?
That's what we decided.
That's fair. Sure.
I asked everybody involved if that was okay with it.
8 p.m. Eastern everyone sounds like a fantastic time to start.
Okay.
I agree.
I mean, we're meeting earlier, so we can, you know, set up.
That must be what I was thinking about. 8 p.m. Let's not stray. I don't want to confuse anybody.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is when we're going to start it. You can watch it by going to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
We will send out the specific link the closer we get to it. But the best way to really do it is go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Class Ring Attire, all one word. And then you'll just kind of refresh your subscriptions and it'll pop up.
Yeah.
I'll probably go ahead and schedule it at some point. So that should pop up as well. But it's going to be me and Joel. We're bringing in Jonah from Trashy Ring Attire. Blair is being Canadian. I was going to say dumb, but I mean,
same thing.
So he won't be able to make it, but he will be sending us messages throughout.
Yes.
Probably judging us, critiquing us, which is great because you guys can do that as well. Because we're going to be checking Twitter. We're going to do, you know, a whole hashtag thing. It's going to be hashtag CRA200Live.
That's a long hashtag.
Now he brings this up again while we're recording. He's completely. This is like the billionth time I use that hashtag.
To be fair, you've never used that hashtag ever
in our messages.
Yeah,
I have, and in the messages that I sent out on our social media websites, I've included that in our message of
it's
what's happening.
CRA 200
hashtag CRA 200 live.
All right, that sounds good. That's a good hashtag.
Oh, this is going to be so not classy by the time we get to the end of this. All right, but yeah, you can tweet along with us because we're going to do a big mail sack segment, like live. Like, we're going to take what you're sending to us and talk about it. And you can, you know, because we know there's been times where you listen to our podcast and you say something that's wrong and you disagree with it. And you want to say something, but it's not live, and so you forget.
Like the Mega Powers should totally reunite. I think some idiot said that on this podcast.
I mean, I'm not going to point fingers, but clearly you are, and she's, you know, your wife, so...
Oh, I was talking about me.
Oh, you didn't point it out.
Yeah, okay. I didn't point it out.
I thought you were calling her an idiot for saying
it. No, I was the one that was like, yep, swell idea.
Fair enough, because you are the wrestling fan that should have caught that.
Yes.
Fair enough. So, yeah, it's going to be me, Joel, and Jonah from Trash and Ring Attire. We're also going to have Beardsley and Neil. They're actually really going to be helping us, like, with behind-the-scenes stuff, but we can get them to pop on.
They'll be in the room,
yeah.
So.
Same with Heather. She's going to be there, mm-hmm. So she can offer her 2 cents, and she's going to have cake that Blair can't have because he's stuck in Canada, so he can, como se dice, suck it?
All right, so that is our plan for next week. Mm-hmm. But we have this week.
Yes, we do have
a whole
week.
Podcast to fill.
Fine.
And but I'm one raw to do it.
I did my civil service, and now I'm back to being salty.
All right. How'd you feel about Raw this week?
Okay, I will say Raw was better. Raw was better than it has been in the past few weeks. Not perfect by any stretch. And it kind of feels weird to say this, but I am starting to enjoy heel champion Sheamus. It is partly to do with New Day, to be honest.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
I pointed this out when we were talking earlier that they're using New Day now the same way as they did when CM Punk was at, like, the height of him being over. Mm-hmm. They used him in so many segments. Basically, you know, at all the tentpole moments, to, you know, the rating boost, and to carry them over into the following segments. So they used New Day in like three or four segments this week, and storylines they're not necessarily involved in, directly, but it's kind of they're using it as a way to get those storylines over.
See, here's the thing, like I'm all for that, and I wish it would happen more like that. I feel like
it is, but it is kind of refreshing for WWE to actually, in this case, recognize what is actually over with the fans.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, ignoring it for Sheamus or for the sake of Sheamus or ignoring it for the sake of Roman, you know? Yeah.
But, like, there's, you can go back in times, you remember, like, at the height of the McMahon family mm-hmm. drama? I know, I think it was one of the WrestleManias, I don't know which one, but it was, like, every single one mm-hmm. was like, and here's how the McMahon family is involved in this.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wow, this is, like, and Andrea, like, the storylines crisscross and affect each other, and mm-hmm. I feel like that's more of watching a TV show rather than watching like a series of skits.
Sure. So. When you do the show like that, you do run the risk of overexposure.
Yeah.
You know? But to be honest, like just the way that New Day clicks and how they work, I don't really see that happening for the moment. You know,
for the moment,
they seem to come up with fresh stuff for every segment that they're in.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that's going to last. You know, those guys are super creative and super talented, so I'm hoping that's just an endless well. Mm-hmm. But that's still asking a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and sure, it helps that there's three guys in this situation, so the weight doesn't fall on only one guy.
Mm-hmm.
If it was one guy like Punk or whatever, you know, that's a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
But you know, back to Sheamus, like you know, he's kind of just embracing the, you know, just that cocky jerk, you know, attitude. But being, like, a little bit funnier about it, I guess is the right, I don't know the right way to put it. But, you know, just his antics were a lot more entertaining than what they were before he had the belt. You know, when he was just the jerk strong guy who just did stuff because he could. And now he's a little bit more entertaining. Like, I enjoyed the you know, harassing Lillian Garcia at the end of his match and then introducing the League of Nations. Is that what it was?
I'm interested. I'm not going to say I like the League of Nations idea, but
I'm open to
interested
it.
To yeah. see where it goes.
Because it was kind of weird, because, you know, before Rusev got hurt this last time and, you know, those guys were kind of working together, and it was fine, whatever. It was kind of a throwaway team, it felt.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're kind of staying consistent with it and actually giving him a stable that isn't involved with the Authority.
Right.
Because that was, you know, I think...
Because he's associated with the Authority, but it's right. not necessarily... He's not
directly linked
to Seth. League of Nation gives him something to do that isn't what Seth and Randy were.
Sure. And you know, I think it was Stone Cold that said something along the lines of, like, he was worried that, you know, in these times where people are more negative on the product, that would force them to use their stronger heels, which is the Authority, and then that would be overexposure. Because, mm-hmm. but then again, that's been going on for so long, well, I don't know if the fans really want to see that.
Part of it is, there's no reason that the Authority should be your biggest heels.
No.
It just, that shouldn't be anything. And they can be the big boss that you know, looms over the whole thing. Sure. So they can be the biggest heels in that sense.
Right.
But they're not your week-to-week on the show, your biggest heels. Right. You want to see.
Yeah, they can be an active presence, but not the active presence. Like, yeah. They don't need to be the main focus.
And if that is the case, I feel like that's an issue.
Right. I mean, all you need is, you know, the unauthority figure.
Well, really what it is... If the guy you want to see get punched in the face is not at consistent risk of being punched in the face because he doesn't wrestle but twice a year,
right?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So, because it's not as satisfying to see the, you know, come up that's happened to the, you know, Avatar proxy wrestler.
Right.
For that guy we really want to see get hurt. Mm. So it doesn't work as well.
Right. So basically, like, the way I'm wording it now is, I don't like Sheamus. I hate him with a fiery passion. But his reign as championship isn't as awful as I was thinking it was going to be so far. It's only 2 weeks in.
Yeah, it's like his reign is two Raws long.
Sure, sure.
Calm down.
So, I'm being calm. I'm giving you my caveat. Like, he's so far so good. So far so okay. Let's go with that. How's that?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. I'm not buying it. I don't care.
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm not saying all is forgiven and he's fine.
Obviously,
whatever. I'm just saying this past week was a good episode, partially due to Sheamus being better than what he has been this week. You guys get really touchy when I say something slightly positive about Sheamus.
Well,
even though that's super rare, that ever happens.
Okay, here's the thing. In my eyes.
Okay.
So, Sheamus is, in some ways, all the complaints about John Cena and all the complaints about Roman. I just kind of sit here and go, why aren't you all saying those things about Sheamus times 10,000?
Right.
Because
especially when he was a face.
Sheamus as a face was worse than Cena.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. He felt like he was coming down to the ring knowing he was going to win. It was just like checking off boxes on a form. Like, right. Gotta, you know, put in this many minutes so I can win. Here we go. And then back to... He didn't seem to care about anything.
And that's kind of the vibe that we got with Roman. Not as severe, but yeah.
Right, but then there's that with Roman, and then there's the, like, oh, Roman's being pushed despite everything, and I'm like, Sheamus is being pushed despite everything.
Right.
Sheamus debuted in June and was champion in December.
Yeah.
Like, did you forget? And then, like, Sheamus went up against Triple H at WrestleMania.
Right.
Then, like...
He took out Triple H, like, the next week.
He took out the next week, yeah. So
We'll
never know why, even though it was to film The Chaperone, I believe.
Well, no. I mean, we'll never know what Triple H is going to say.
What Triple H is going to say?
Because of Sheamus. That's the ultimate reason, I think, why we, like, have this deep-seated...
I got re-upset at that when, like, Sheamus hugged him at the end of TLC, or at the end of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And I was like, no! Like,
He hit you!
You didn't get to tell Shawn Michaels something. No, so there's that, and it's like, oh, this isn't working. Let's make him the face of SmackDown anyway. Oh, what? Yeah. That's not working? Let's give him the briefcase. Sheamus is the one that's like, it feels they're desperately trying to get. So all of your complaints about Cena and Roman... You're Sheamus.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, okay, if I'm going to be forced to see Sheamus if I want to watch WWE, if Sheamus is going to be a consistent,
an unavoidable nuisance.
Yes. There are things that can play to his strength, and we've talked about this. We've talked about, like, gun to head, how do you book Sheamus? And I think there. Because for everything else, I don't think he's an untalented dude.
Yeah.
And I've said, like, I think his skin and his complexion makes it look like he went through a war in every match.
You know, especially because he works very stiff matches.
Yeah.
So it only forces his opponent to work stiff as well.
But the thing is, like, he comes out of a regular match looking like, you know, somebody coming out of, you know, their Hell in a Cell match.
Right.
And so, like, and you can use that to your advantage, and that's just not happening.
Right.
And so part of it is, like, Sheamus won the briefcase to everyone's chagrin.
Yeah.
And then continued to be this floundering mid-card.
Uninteresting,
you know, threatening when necessary, comedy jobber when necessary.
Right.
Wild fluctuation thing. And so...
But that's really, like, been the story of the briefcase holder for these past couple of years. Some more than others.
Well, the thing is, like with Seth Rollins, it always felt like they had faith in the character.
Right, absolutely.
And it felt like...
Maybe Seth Rollins would be the exception to that, but...
Well, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily feel like they always go, we're giving him in the briefcase in July... And he's going to in June now, I guess.
Yeah.
We're giving him the briefcase in June, and he's going to cash in November. He's going to cash in. It feels like he's going to cash in sometime in the next year. We have this ace in our sleeve.
Right.
And
we know when we, you know, pull that trigger, we know we're confident in how we're going to build him.
Right. Where we are confident that this guy is championship material within the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it felt with Sheamus. It felt like Sheamus is like,
he's trying a new character, and we're still not sure about it.
We gotta give the briefcase to somebody. Money in the Bank has happened.
Sure.
And we have visions for these other wrestlers.
Yeah.
So no vision for Sheamus. I guess he gets the briefcase.
Right.
But so him.
But that's, you know, that's how it felt like with Sandow. It's how they felt like.
Yeah, Sandow didn't win, though. But they did
with Ziggler.
And so it feels like they kind of.
Well, yeah.
You know, swept that under the rug.
But it still felt like they just. They got the idea for how that match, that Money in the Bank match, was going to go. And then, like, okay, he's going to feud with Cody Rhodes, so they'll have something for a while. And then that ended, and they're like, now what?
Yeah.
And there was no plan beyond that.
But with Sheamus, and with Sheamus kind of this week. So, Sheamus, the night he won the championship, earlier that night was basically a comic relief character.
Yeah.
With New Day.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, and he was the comic relief to New Day.
Yeah.
Who was a comic relief. And they're an amazing, you know, competent skills in the ring tag team.
Sure.
But they're a comic relief tag team. But Sheamus is the incompetent, can't even hang with New Day comic relief.
Right.
And so when Sheamus continues to be goofy, silly.
Right.
Then it's like, okay, so he's still that Sheamus. Because Sheamus can be legitimate scary threats. Part of it is like, he can't with the mohawk and he can't with the beard.
No.
Because it's goofy looking.
Right. But he has the ability otherwise.
Yeah. I think. Like,
sure, yeah.
He has been successfully booked and booked dominant and, like, it was believable.
Mm-hmm.
But so it kind of feels like, okay, so it honestly feels like Heath Slater is champion right now.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Right.
And like.
Also.
And so here's the thing. So I'm not excited about Sheamus being champion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this is kind of a placeholder thing. Until we get the real championship story at TLC or at the very latest Royal Rumble.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like if you're gonna be friggin' champion, be a champion.
Right.
And it feels like he's, character-wise, is this Heath Slater Santino character. Because that's the Sheamus that he was right before there.
Yeah.
And he hasn't...
He hasn't necessarily changed that.
Right.
But then again, that makes sense now that he's, you know, hiding behind these groups.
Like
he's
and that's
hiding,
the thing. Is like
behind League of Nations and New Day.
And then it is... It's only been 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, if he needs to... And because I've seen Sheamus do it before, like, we are, like, you know, one or two serious matches away from, like, really... kind of grinded into. Sheamus is a threat in the ring.
Right.
Sheamus can go toe-to-toe and hold his own on this title.
Hmm.
But I just don't see that happening.
No. And not the way he's been booked leading up to it. Yeah, I agree.
So.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of, you know, not quite Seth Rollins and J&J Security type shenanigans, but kind of probably in that same vein.
Yeah.
You know? Also, it's weird that they're including Alberto Del Rio in this. You know?
Because he's not European?
A, yes. B, what is the worst feud that we that we always point at and be like, that's not how you do it. And yet they did it for 4 months?
Yeah.
Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. Mm-hmm. And now we're supposed to be like, they hated each other because of a car? So now we're like, okay, they're best friends now. But then again, it also doesn't really make sense that, you know, Del Rio's with Subculture either, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of, just moving along, was this all, like, the Del Rio Zeb Coulter thing, was this all a way to yet again revive the career of Jack Swagger?
You know what? I will honestly say, I have kind of dug Jack Swagger these past couple weeks.
I kind of have too, yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, because
like, he gave a really good promo last week.
Yeah.
With the, you know, then ending with, you know, him, like, just really getting into the We the People thing. And then this week he didn't say anything, but Mandy came out on fire.
Yeah. So, like, and I'm a little hesitant to go into the corner of Swagger, especially after berating you for doing the same thing for Sheamus, like, 30 seconds
and
ago.
And notice that I'm not berating you for saying anything positive about Swagger.
So I get the, you know, double standard here that I'm about to throw down.
One of us is a better friend than the other. I'm just going to point that out right now.
Whatever. Because, well, part of it is, like, I don't really have any reason to defend it, because it's not like Jack Swagger's doing something different that he's never done before.
He's feuding with Del Rio.
He's in the same feud with the same character against the same character that he's been doing. Like, is it because he's wearing jeans now?
And a jacket.
Like, is that what it was? Was I missing the super cool jacket?
And he's got that sweet updated haircut, bruh.
Like, I honestly don't know what it is. So I am just waiting for it to come crashing down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm like, okay, you've done something, but at some point we're all going to see the Emperor Has No Clothes here.
It's like, you know, when they turned Swagger face to go up against Rusev.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, people are really in the corner of Zeb and Swagger all of a sudden. And it led to, like, SummerSlam, and it just all came crashing down. Mostly because, you know, monster build for Rusev, so we can't have Jack Swagger ruin that. Because that's John Cena's thing.
Well, that's the thing. So, but, like, next week, on a list of things I'm looking forward to on Raw next week, Swaggy time is near the top.
And, you know, and that's another interesting, because we just talked about, you know, how if something's working, it's woven into the entire show. I'm not saying League of Nations is working, but they've already, like, started, like, they're not necessarily all focused on one storyline. They all have their own separate storylines, but still together.
And I like that. And it's the kind of thing
because
where,
God knows that they need to do that for Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
Because he's not doing anything unless it's related to Roman Reigns.
Golly.
That's it. Now, if they could find an interesting way for, like, the League of Nations guys to all have something different, interesting, not necessarily Wade Barrett, but, you know, who cares? And then, you know, have nothing for, you know, your one of your most over faces in the company, that, I don't know.
No, it's really frustrating. I think, right now, I mean, and this changes on the day-to-day, but today's thing is, like, the fact that Dean Ambrose can't seem to exist outside of Roman's little buddy character is the most frustrating
book. It is.
So that, and okay, so let's do the Divas real quick. So
why do we have to?
Okay. So here is the best outcome.
Okay.
The best outcome
is
okay, so basically at this point,
still waiting for you to start.
Becky Lynch is a face.
Yes.
Everybody else is a heel. Like, Natty's a face, but...
But she's never... She's like, you know... She only shows out... Or she only shows up when somebody points out her absence.
Yeah. He's like, oh, so, Saibon!
I'm here, guys. I'm just in the back, you know, whatever.
So, for all practical purposes, Becky's a face. Everybody else is a heel.
Sure.
So here's the thing. You know what? That's a great setup for, like, a really great fighting, overcoming the odds, tearing through to the division thing for Becky.
It's a get perfect her over setup. Quickly or because there's no one else.
Or, you know what? Let's somehow turn her heel against some. I don't know against who, but like if she could, you know, kind of get heelish tendencies real quick. Bayley is a character tailor made
for that story
to just tear through a line of heels. So that's like that's the thing. I'm like, oh, there it is. All the pieces are lining up.
Yeah,
that's great. So that's the best outcome. The most realistic outcome is somebody was like, it's not really a face heel thing with the Divas. It's more of they're all crazy thing with the Divas.
Because all women hate because each other.
Women, right?
Yeah, no.
So,
okay. I will say there's one positive thing that I can say about what they did with the Divas this week.
Okay.
And that is A, Team Bad showed a lot more personality than either they usually do or what they've been allowed to do in the past.
Yeah, they have.
I feel like that has somewhat to do with New Day's influence because, you know, we've seen their videos that how they go back and forth with each other online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Team Bad, like, have this personality. I'm like, why don't we see that on Raw? Or how come they're not given the opportunity to showcase that on Raw? And this week, we finally kind of got that. So yeah. I'm excited to see if that is going to be a more common occurrence.
Just kind of think about in the past, how much of like what's really genuinely gotten over has been goofy online videos.
Sure.
Like Zack Ryder's the you know, poster boy for that.
Right.
But also Team Bad.
Yep.
Bad News Barrett was
it was WWE's own creation, but on a YouTube.
Yeah, show. it was something that it felt like WWE didn't care about.
Sure, no.
And so there's this like, I feel like I see this, you know, breeding ground of their, you know, approved web content.
Yeah.
That is just as good of a try it out thing as NXT, or better. Because it's so easy to, like, if something doesn't work on a web video, it's so easy to be like, eh, that didn't count. That's not kayfabe. Don't view that. But
in that same vein, what are they doing with Adam Rose? That whole weird, like,
Tosh.0 yeah, I forgot that.
Ripoff thing? Like, how many things are they going to try with this guy in this one character? Like, just go ahead and repackage him to anything else. I don't even care if it's his old NXT name that I can't.
Oh, here's the
Leo
thing.
Kruger. Like, I don't even care if he goes back to Leo Kruger, but just repackage the guy if you're going to hold on to him.
That's the thing is, like, you know what? Husky Harris was there for a good while.
Sure.
Husky Harris was on pay-per-views.
Sure.
So you can take a guy and be like, different character, ignore it.
Right.
And it works. It's possible.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're sitting there being like, well, we called him Adam Rose on Raw. So I guess he's Adam Rose now.
Forever, because the internet guys.
And just like, no.
Take
him back, try again.
If you do it well enough and you stick with it and, you know, clearly he'll be, like, Adam Rose is committed to whatever character you tell him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like commitment is going to be an issue here.
No.
Because Lord knows Adam Rose is an awful one. So I don't know. But it's frustrating. Like, they'll stick with something that isn't working and come out with so many iterations of it, and yet you got guys like Brad Maddox who gets released this week because apparently he called the fans a bunch of cocky pricks.
Really?
It was a dark show, and he was like he was actually starting to tag with Adam Rose for a while.
Was he a heel?
I'm guessing so.
Then so what?
Yeah. But it was a dark match that wasn't televised anywhere, like not even on the internet. Like he called them cocky pricks, and apparently they didn't like that, and so they fired him. And now he's known as Mad Braddock.
I do like Mad Braddock.
I do like that. And that's why he's got, like, on Pro Wrestling Tees, he's got a Cocky Pricks t-shirt.
Friggin', here's the thing, like, okay. In all genuine fairness, I took a shine to Braddock with, like, no actual reason.
He was just a ridiculously gorgeous guy. Like, and you're like, that's Ref McDreamy. You still have that shirt somewhere.
I do have a Ref McDreamy shirt. Well, and part of it was, like, it was right at the height of CM Punk's gonna make the year. I think it'll happen. CM Punk will make the year. Mm-hmm. And so, like, getting really high on that and getting really, like, this is the change. This is the catalyst we all can't ignore. Here it comes. And when he first did the, like, the whole punching Ryback, and he came out talking about, like, you know, indie wrestlers who are good wrestlers but aren't the, you know, jack bodybuilders, then they can't get over because they don't have... They don't have that look. And they have the look, because you can look at Braddock and be like, Braddock's has got the look.
Right.
Braddock is going to sell some magazines and some t-shirts right. because he's got a face like that. But he doesn't have the, you know, He-Man bodybuilder look.
Sure.
So that's... And he hit me right at the point where I'm like, this is happening. This is the change. And Braddock is a part of this change because he's this guy.
We're going to make you be GM and have some of the most awkward moments. And you're just going to flounder. And we're just going to leave you there.
So...
Like, he... Oh, my God. I will say this. He had some pretty rough moments as the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, like, a lot of that is probably his own fault, but then again, like, you kind of have to feel like maybe they put him in that position too early. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no...
Like, there's
not... Here's the thing, like, look at he was the ref
yeah.
that punched Ryback. Mm-hmm. Genuine, interesting, all right, let's see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pops up to, hey... Brad Maddox versus Ryback. And, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Because that was like Ryback's at his, you know, peak.
Of him actually being legit over.
Yeah, and it was at that point where, like, Ryback might beat CM Punk. If Ryback might see him beat CM Punk, he's going to destroy the ref that punched him.
Right.
And after that, like, what? I don't think he had any... genuine, honest-to-goodness storyline matches
on SmackDown. Because after that, he was put in the GM position, and as soon as he was not in the GM position, he did nothing.
Yeah.
He was the turkey that got tombstone on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
That's the most relevant thing he's done since being a GM.
So
that sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah. But, you know, now maybe you can, like, you know... get some wrestling in and, you know, make some pretty decent money.
I hope so. I'd go see him in any show in a heartbeat.
Sure. I mean, he's from North Carolina, so I'm assuming he's going to do a lot of local shows down here.
All right. Let's go.
Sure. Right now.
Right now. We'll just start knocking on gyms.
Yeah. It's like, why is Matt Braddock here? Who? Oh, come on.
Matt Braddock.
You know, come on. Yeah, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ref McDreamy?
There we go.
As he's better known.
All right, so I guess there's no other way to get around it, so might as well go ahead and talk about it.
All right.
So, Mick Foley.
Yes.
We all love him.
Yes.
Joel loves him. Like, I made the comment earlier, it's like, I love Mick Foley just as much as the next guy, unless the next guy is Joel. Because it's just, there's no competition there.
Right.
And Mick Foley has been very vocal about... you know, not agreeing and not liking some of the things going on with the current product.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree completely. And he's offered solutions, which is, I feel like is, you know, it's constructive.
Yes.
Like, because, you know, anybody can complain, but and it's better to have solutions.
Well,
if you're going to complain.
There's a big difference in saying Raw is bad, Raw sucks, and sure. saying the issues with Raw are... short matches,
sure.
inconsistent character development, you know, or whatever you think it is.
Right.
So.
And then offering solutions.
Yeah.
Because there's been times where he's actually offered to come in to Stanford and actually, you know.
Yeah.
Talk it over. And then this week, it rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay.
Not the fact that he's complaining, not any of that, but he did the whole, like, I'm never going to watch Raw again. if this continues. Like, you're going to lose me as a fan.
Yeah.
That sort of attitude annoys me, especially when he went on Stone Cold's podcast today,
mm-hmm.
and they talked to it at length. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but he did make another Facebook post where he was like, all right, Monday Night Raw was better, so I'm going to continue watching for now. And it just, like, okay, come on. Like, it reminded me a lot of those people in the comment section. You know who they are. They're on every single wrestling website, every wrestling article. They're like, this show is awful, this show is bad, blah, 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 blah. They'll maybe even give reasons. And then, like, you know what? They lost me as a fan. I'm never watching again. And then that next week, you see them, like, commenting on the same stuff, clearly having watched the show again.
Yeah. Okay. Let me break this down for you.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. WWE has lost me as a fan. Or at least Raw has. Raw has lost me as a fan. I am not a fan of Raw.
Okay.
I am watching Raw
because of the podcast.
Partially out of habit, largely out of the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was this week. And this week, yeah, it ended up being better, but it was like going into it was towards the end of the first hour, and I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to watch the football game.
Yeah.
I don't want to. And it's so, they talk about like Raw is losing fans to this and this and this. Yeah. And I'm like, Raw's not losing me to anything.
Right.
I'm just, Raw's losing me to themselves. I don't want to watch, I like that, you know, nice turned off television. Raw's losing me to books, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, and so
I mean, I won't go that far, but I have YouTube, so we're okay.
Well, that's the thing, is like, it's not, so Raw has lost me as a fan, and I am watching Raw out of habit and largely out of
mm-hmm.
the podcast and out of convenience, because partially if I'm going to, you know, be able to have any sort of actual genuine commentary on the state of wrestling,
right,
I need to be aware of what.
Sure.
And then that's the thing, is like, and I know several people, you know, who don't watch Raw, but they're aware of what happened on Raw, and they are aware of,
we're looking at you, Blair.
What is, yeah, they're aware of what WWE does.
Yeah.
And that's important, right. You know. I think what drives me up the wall is people who WWE is bad, and I don't watch, and I don't know what's going on there, and, you know, I'm only real wrestling, like, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Mick Foley made a post, and he actually did a really good job where he did not make the post on Monday. He made the post like on Thursday or something.
Right.
I was like, that is a thought out post.
Sure. Yeah.
And I had no problem with that post. I don't think you had any problem with that initial post.
No.
Because it's like, because it was like genuinely, look,
mm-hmm.
I really have no reason to watch the show anymore.
Right.
You have not given me a reason to watch the show, and you haven't for a while. And I don't think he never came out and was like, it's genuinely make or break on this episode, you guys.
Right.
I think it was like, it could be any episode. Like, and there might be this next episode, you guys.
Sure.
So after that, I wanted to know how he felt about specifically this episode of Raw.
Sure.
And that's the thing. So I did want him to post that.
Right.
Because I care about what Mick Foley has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a better episode of Raw. And so I don't agree with you on, like...
Sure. And again, like I said, he made that post today. I've been pretty salty all day. Not because of him, but...
And let's, you know, if... I think we're all pretty much consistent, like, this was a better Raw than it has been. It's not a great Raw. Probably not even really good Raw.
No. But we've been so used to crap.
Right. And so if it had been just as bad or worse, and it had been I'll keep watching it for now, there would have been a little bit more like, nope.
Yeah.
You made a bluff and nothing happened.
Right.
But I don't get the sense he's feeling that. And I don't get the sense, nothing about what he said and nothing about what I think he feels is, I am making a grand, I'm making a grand stance of not watching on account of quality.
Right.
And because it's so much more,
Right.
I'll miss this week, or I'll, you know, something more important will come up, or just I won't get to it, you know? Which doesn't happen in a week. It happens over time. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I haven't watched in a while. That's how it happened with SmackDown.
Right.
There was a time where I watched SmackDown every week.
Right.
And it didn't have to, and, you know, it was so heavy on the replays.
Yeah.
And SmackDown spoilers were coming, so I knew by the Wednesday morning if I was going to watch SmackDown, if I had to or not.
Yeah.
And, like, I could fake having watched SmackDown if somebody asked me.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, oh, yeah, I saw it. The guys that usually do good did good, and, you know, everything else was crap, and Raw replays. So, that's... I do think Mick Foley was in the right... I don't think it was overkill for him to make a post today. Being like,
right.
Well, what do you think about this? Because I'm interested in that.
Mm.
Especially with the Stone Cold podcast. And part of that is also, like, I don't think I disagree with Mick Foley on anything that he said.
Sure.
Like, every suggestion that he made, I was like, yep, that would be better. Everything he made.
So is this just a case of Chris is in a bad mood today and he's just getting pissed off at everything?
I think so.
And that's fair enough.
I think Chris needs a hug and a gummy bear.
I mean, your cat is, you know, kind of walking back and forth between us and, you know, I don't know, that's kind of putting me in a better mood.
It's calming you down.
Even though I don't like cats really, but your cat's cool.
But you like this cat.
Yeah, this cat's cool.
So
fine, okay. By the time this podcast has come out, I'll probably be in a better mood. So I'll probably feel differently about it, and I'll probably hate myself for talking about it, you know, and being this, you know, worked up about
whiny. Me.
Fine, whiny. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need what's making me happy.
All right, what's making you happy?
Thanksgiving was awesome.
Yeah?
I had a good time. My mom came up to Greensboro and went to Green Valley Grill next to the O. Henry Hotel. Super fancy. Had the best steak of my life. Dear Lord. Oh, it was incredible. And then you had a little, you know, fun little cheeky movie time with the Leonards.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was glad you guys invited me.
Yeah.
That was fun. Also watched Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it through. I won't spoil anything for you. If you're a fan of David Tennant yelling, Jessica! Then you will love this show because, dear Lord, every episode. Multiple times every episode. But that's really my only gripe. And if that's your only gripe, that's actually not bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's been a good week. I'm super excited about Class of Ring Attire, the 200th podcast. In spite of Joel just completely, like, whiffing on everything that we've been talking about for the past week. But it's okay. We have a lot on our respective platters.
I totally understand. Sometimes you think you've said something when you haven't actually told anybody. It's just, it happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Wait, what?
What's making me happy is...
You're a jerk. That's what's making me happy.
We're going to have a book signing for my book. That all came together.
It was super weird because it was like we were talking about this on Saturday when we were doing the movie marathon. And it felt like it was something like, man, it'd be great if we could actually do this, like, in a far-off, distant future. And somehow that came together today.
Yeah.
I was super surprised by that.
Yeah, so it was awesome. Really exciting. And that also means that you are... currently listening to this podcast. I'll show this way in the future. You are currently listening to this podcast in a month that a Star Wars movie comes out.
Yeah,
which is just nice to know.
Oh my god!
So we've almost made it.
We're almost
so
there.
Very exciting. It gets me through the day sometimes.
when we're both having the weeks that we're having right now,
mm-hmm.
It helps tremendously.
So yeah, I got this.
Yeah, you do.
So, that's what's making me happy right now.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. So, I guess we should hit up the mail sack then.
Yep.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack.
It's your mail sack.
right, so this comes from Facebook, from Jay, and he had an observation. He's like, I noticed that all the men's titles after Survivor Series were all heels. Can you remember in recent past an all-heel and all-face title holders? I don't think I got nothing off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
There have been a couple of times it's been close.
Right. I think the one time I'm thinking of is that the picture that they took with Punk as the WWE champion,
mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan as the new heavyweight champion.
Air Boom as the tags.
And I think the only... I forgot who the U.S. champion was, Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only heel in there was Cody as the Intercontinental champion at the time. That's as close as I can remember.
And I think Daniel Bryan might have supposed to have been a heel at that point.
But this
point.
Was, like, the but night
like,
of.
Yeah, it was kind of like, we don't care.
Yeah, like, that was the, it was, like, because that was the same night that Zack Ryder won the U.S. championship. Mm-hmm. And that next night, after they took that picture, was when, like, Punk, Bryan, and Zack Ryder all came down through the,
to the crowd. Yeah.
So that's a very face thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This is the first time, and, you know, Jay also made a point in a second comment about, like, maybe Charlotte's turning heel, so that's kind of a clean sweep.
Yeah. I feel like there is, like, some point you can point to in wrestling, like, right there!
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, like, halfway through a pay-per-view.
Right.
Where, like, you know, some heel wins it and makes the clean sweep, but right. then a face is winning a title later in the later in the night. But I feel like it has been at some point. I don't remember.
Yeah, neither do I.
So...
Alright, so this comes from... Okay, well, I put out a nice little prompt, and I was wondering, just... We were talking about the whole Mick Foley thing earlier, and I asked, what would it take for you to completely stop watching WWE completely forever? I got a couple of responses from Twitter. I can never say... he sent us stuff, like, in the past, but it's at Gobies, or Go Abyss, or however you say it. The network price goes up to $11.99 per month. Honestly, I would be okay with that if that guaranteed 100% that there wouldn't be buffering issues during their live events.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so bad for us for Survivor Series, but apparently for a lot of people, like, towards the end of the championship match, it stopped. It just was buffering, and the next time it popped back up, Sheamus was your champion. So that's pretty rough.
I will never forget... That we buffered through
Takers. Yeah, no, we because of the WWE Network, we missed the moment that Undertaker was pinned at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
By the time it was back, like, it came back, Brock Lesnar's music was hitting, and I think he was, like, going up the ramp about to wink back at Undertaker.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
Right.
So, yeah, I would pay $11.99. It also
buffered through the entire Shield match, which is, like, not very long, but still.
It did.
Yeah. And also, at Ray Balance, the last few years is all it took. So there's that. And then we asked our trashy guys. Q said, if something like Hogan happens now and they don't fire said worker.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that would, like, it cause me to, you know, rethink of... you know, watching the show or whatever, but I was pretty pissed to hear back when Del Rio got fired, but not the guy who said some horribly ignorant crap.
Yeah.
You know, I was mad that that guy wasn't fired. Now, hoping he, now that Del Rio is back, homeboy is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
I will say, like, the way the question is phrased,
yeah.
What will make me stop forever.
Yeah.
Has to be something offensive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing.
Not necessarily, like good, bad quality of, like, programming, but it would have to be something horribly scandalous that you just can't stand behind anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't know what that would be.
No, me neither.
It's kind of like, I don't know, but if it happens, I'll know it. And there, you know... There are some artists out there, mm-hmm. and everybody has a different line of where they can separate the art from the artist.
Sure.
But there are some where some people are like, I can't watch that guy's movies because of this.
Sure.
Or I can't listen to that guy's music
right.
because this happened.
And
that will forever taint this.
Right.
And
that changes from person to person, you know.
Exactly.
The biggest example is Chris Brown. Like, I'm sure he lost a lot of fans with, you know, his violent issues, mm-hmm. domestic abuse issues. But yet there's so many people that still, like, adore him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, and it has to be something big to be like, no WWE mm-hmm. ever again.
Yeah.
Because that means, like, because something could happen and Vince will be like, that's fine. I'm like, no, it's not.
Right. And see, that's the thing. Like,
maybe still in, like, 30 years, I'll be like, let me tune in because there's no Vince and see what WWE is doing.
Right. I don't know. Because it's one of those things, like, it would take quite a bit because it's kind of hard to offend Joel and I.
Well, part of it is, like, some stuff has happened in the past.
Sure.
Like, and some of it I wasn't watching for.
Right.
So I didn't have to sit through it. I didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I watch it now.
Right.
And so I watch a company that put that on TV.
Right.
So it has to be worse than that for me to swear it off forever.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think there's any quality of show that will turn me off forever.
Right.
Now, and that's the thing, is like, earlier this year, I was like, I'm off it for a month.
Right.
I'm not watching for a month, just to kind of like, see what happens and recalibrate. And it was honestly, part of it was like, it got really good right before that. Right. And I was like, friggin', come on.
Yeah, you should threaten to do that more often.
Like, what? And
hey, if you could like, threaten to not watch Raw from January to April, that'll be perfect for me.
Well, and so, but it also, like, part of it was, like, I have this block of time on Mondays.
Right.
That, like, everybody in my life knows I'm busy on Mondays.
Yeah.
So, it's like, oh, can we do, oh, we can't, sorry. I knew it. I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something else where I'm like, I kind of want to know.
Yeah.
Because I took off for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And a month is a kind of amount of time where either nothing's going to happen or one giant thing's going to happen. And yeah. I'm like, well, I got to watch if the thing happens.
Right.
So I still got to kind of pay attention because the thing might have happened.
Sure.
And it's also like, it, Facebook is now smart enough to be like, these are the news stories you'd probably like. So
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to keep up with it.
Pretty much.
And so it is hard to declaratively swear it off.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, what I should do probably is like take that time and be like, all right, I'm watching me some Lucha Underground or some New Japan during right. this time. And part of it is, in all honesty, is Raw's convenient.
Yeah.
And I can watch Raw, and I have a computer or a Game Boy or something or a phone to, like, it's great for some multitasking.
Sure, yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and be like, you got me, whatever you do, because that's not how you, like, encourage good programming.
Right.
But that's kind of how it is, like, for me.
Yeah.
Your numbers are down 25% since June. Clearly,
something's
amiss.
Yeah. It's also worth mentioning that Blair also sent a response, but it's an essay, for one. And B, all it is he made a comment on an article, and then he copied and pasted his comment and sent it to me. And A, that's cheap, so screw off. And B, his comment is mostly about what is wrong with Raw. It's not what I asked. And so, therefore, I'm not going to read your submission. Let the hate begin.
We all know what's wrong with Raw.
Yeah, no, yeah. This
is a problem, yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's no way to get away from that.
So.
Yep. All
right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you got?
I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you want to go ahead and start sending in your mail sack submissions for Classroom Attire 200, go ahead and send those to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Still the easiest way to follow the podcast. You can look us up there. You can click subscribe, get the new podcast every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, those kind of things really help out the podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can look us up there. Easy way to keep up with the podcast, keep with Chris and myself. We will be posting a link on the Facebook page to the live stream of Classy 200. So if that's the way you want to get there, that's one option.
And I wanted to go ahead and mention one thing. If you can't watch the live stream for whatever reason, we're still going to record it. It's still going to be on iTunes probably a couple days later.
Yep.
And it'll stay on our YouTube channel, and it will still be on Inside Pulse. So if you have to miss it for whatever reason, don't worry. You're still going to be able to listen to it.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.